And let's pick up right where we left off this morning. Romans chapter 1, and then a little bit later we're going to go to the book of Acts. But for right now, let's just go to Romans chapter 1. And then, as I said, a little bit later we will go to the book of Acts. All right, you're turning now to Romans chapter 1. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being here in this missions conference. And I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts. I pray that you will warm our hearts. I pray that you will challenge our hearts for reaching the lost at any cost. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We said this morning that in order for us to be passionate about missions, in order for us to be serious about getting out the gospel, and in order for us to be willing to sacrifice to get out the gospel, by the way, not just here in Daytona, but reaching beyond our own little world. Not just in Poplar Bluff, but reaching beyond our own little world. In order for us to be serious about that and to be willing to sacrifice for that cause, there are some core beliefs, there are some core convictions that we must hold dear. We must believe these things with all of our hearts. And conviction number one is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That he is not just a way to heaven. That he is not just the better way to heaven. That he is not even the best way to heaven. But we must believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And that those who die without Christ die lost. In John 14:6, it's on your handout, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when Jesus said, "I am the way," that would be to the exclusion of every other way. Isn't that right? In Acts 4:12, it says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that, if he says there's no other name, then that would be to the exclusion of every other name. Isn't that right? And we learned this morning that truth, by its very nature, is what? Is exclusive. Folks, don't let people intimidate you. Don't let them say, "Well, you're just a narrow-minded bigot believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven." Truth, by its very nature, is always exclusive. If you believe that 2 plus 2 is 4, that is to the exclusion of every other number. It's to the exclusion of 5. It's to the exclusion of 3. Truth, by its very nature, is exclusive. And so the bottom line is, do we believe what Jesus said when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Now, if we're all going to heaven, we're just taking different roads, as some say, then there's no reason to sacrifice so that somebody can go to London and tell those people about Christ. If all religions are fundamentally the same and just superficially different, then there's no reason for us to sacrifice so that somebody can go to the Ivory Coast. If it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, then there's no reason for us to sacrifice so that somebody can go to Arctic Siberia. Thank God somebody wants to go to Arctic Siberia. By all means, let's send them, amen? What a miracle of God that is, that somebody's willing to go. And I'm being serious. It's a blessing that somebody's willing to go. Let me just also add this. There are also many people in the world today that call themselves Christian in every country of the world, and yet they still don't understand that salvation is totally by grace. See, not only is a Muslim without Christ lost, but someone that calls themselves a Christian, but they're without Christ, they're also lost. So someone asked me once, "You think the Baptists are the only ones going to heaven?" I said, "No, I'm quite sure all of them are not going to make it." Listen, a Baptist that is not resting in the finished work of Christ is no better off than a Muslim that's not resting in the finished work of Christ. And there are many Baptists, even in this city, I'm quite sure, that still do not understand what this church preaches and teaches so clearly, that salvation is totally by grace, apart from good works. And so it's very important that we understand that we've got to reach those people too. I have an ongoing relationship with a pastor, a national pastor in Mexico. Our church has had close to a 20-year relationship with this man. His name is Ruben Murillo. He's helped start 28 churches in Mexico. And we've sent several of our people there on missions trips. It's an incredible work that they're doing. And Ruben Murillo will tell you that 95% of the people that they witness to will tell you that they are a Christian. And yet when you begin to ask them what they're trusting in to get them to heaven, it will be some sort of a combination of grace plus works. grace plus some sacrament or grace plus some ritual. And they need to hear the gospel of grace as well. Amen. One day a man said, well, getting to heaven is like rowing in a rowboat. If you row in a rowboat, you've got to have two oars in order to have forward motion. If you only row with one oar, you're going to go in a circle. If you row with the other oar, you're going to go in a circle. You must row with both oars. And then he said, and so it is with salvation. You must have a combination of grace and works. If all you have is grace, that's not enough. If all you have is works, that's not enough. You must have grace and works in order to get to heaven. There's only one problem with that illustration. And you know what that is? We're not going to heaven in a rowboat. Amen. We're going to heaven based upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about in this message. Now, we ended this morning by asking the question, well, what about those people who die having never heard of Christ? You say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but Pastor, there's a flaw in what you're saying because a lot of people die having never even heard of Jesus Christ. What about those people in the deep, dark jungles of Africa who die having never heard of Christ? What about the Hindu man in India that dies never having heard of Christ? What about the Buddhist in China who dies having never even heard of Jesus Christ? Aren't they saved on the basis of their ignorance? And if they're not, would God be fair? Would God be just? Would God be righteous to allow those people to go to hell? It's a good question. And a lot of people have stumbled over that question. And a lot of skeptics have used that as a reason for castigating what we believe. And so let's just see tonight, and we summarized it this morning. Tonight we'll go into a bit more detail. Let's just see what the Bible says about that. The Bible teaches, as I told you this morning, that all men have some light. Now, I want you to say that with me. Ready? All men have some light. What I mean by that is that all men, no matter who they are or where they are, and I use the word man generically, I'm referring, of course, to mankind. It would certainly include the women as well. All men have some light. That is, they have some revelation of who God is, some revelation of the fact that God exists. If a man responds to the light that he has, God will give him more light until he finally comes to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. All right, I want you to notice now that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So here's a man who responds to the light that he has. He puts faith in the light that he has. He responds to it in a positive way, and God gives him more light. He puts more faith in the light that he has, and God gives him more light. It is not enough light to be saved, but as long as he is responding to the light that God gives him, God will give that man more light. But if a man rejects the light that he has, God is under no obligation to give him more light. And that person could end up dying and going to hell having never heard of Jesus Christ. Not because God is unjust, not because God is unfair, but because that man did not live up to the light that he had. He did not respond to the light that he had. Now, you say, preacher, what light do all men have? Well, number one, and we just touched on this morning, number one, all men have the light of creation. Or they have the witness of creation. And creation witnesses to the fact of God. Look, if you would, again, at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse number 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Could I please have just a little less monitor? The house, I'm assuming the house is fine, but the monitor is ringing in my ear. And I hear my own sermon, I get under conviction, and I can't finish. And so, I need you, if you could turn that down just a little. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the what church? Creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? They are without excuse. Now, why are the heathen and the pagan who have never heard of Christ without excuse? First of all, because they have the witness of creation. They have the light of creation. The book of Psalms says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, what that simply means is that anything that is designed and created demands the fact that at some point in time there was a designer and a creator. When I look at this building, which has been built with symmetry, with purpose, and with function, I know that at some point in time there was somebody that designed this building, and I know there was somebody that created or built this building. I want you to imagine that you walked up to Pastor Dan after the service and said, "Pastor Dan, where did this beautiful building come from?" And suppose Brother Dan said, "You know, that's an interesting story. One day there was an explosion down at the lumber yard. And as a result of that explosion, this building fell out of the sky and it landed here on Clyde Morris Boulevard. And it was exactly what we needed to suit our needs." You'd say, "Man, have to be a fool to believe that." Right. And that's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." All you have to do is look at creation and the symmetry of creation, the design of creation, the function of creation to know somebody designed all this. You could look at a Bible. I have here the Word of God. I have a collection of 66 books. They are put together in exactly the right order. Every word, every letter, every verse, every chapter is exactly where it needs to be. And suppose you said, "Brother Steve, where did you get that beautiful Bible?" And suppose I said, "That's an interesting story. One day in Poplar Bluff, there was an explosion at a print shop. And this Bible fell out of the sky and it was perfectly put together." You say, "Well, I'd have to be a fool to believe that." Guess what? That's what the evolutionist wants you to believe. The evolutionist wants you to believe that at some point in time there was a big bang and out of chaos came order. Well, I've got news. Chaos does not produce order. The second law of thermodynamics tells us that left to themselves, things do not improve, but rather they disintegrate. And I want to tell you that one cell in your body is more complicated than this building. As a matter of fact, one cell in your body is more complicated than the space shuttle. And so the Bible says that all men have the light of creation. It is a built-in God consciousness, if I could put it that way. A built-in God consciousness. Did you know that you have to work at being an atheist? You have to deny everything that you see. The order and the design and the function of creation in order to believe that it happened by accident. I heard one preacher say that atheism is as natural to a human being as singing is to a Missouri mule. You've got to work at being an atheist. You've got to deny what logic tells you is true. It's amazing to me how the world tries to put forth that if you believe in evolution, you're an intellectual. If you believe the Bible, then you're just some sort of a narrow-minded, babbling idiot. Well, may I tell you, the most intelligent thing you can believe is that something that is designed had a designer. And so, number one, all men have the light of creation. Secondly, all men have the light of conscience. Go to Romans chapter 2 and look at verse number 14. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 14. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts." Now read it with me. "Their conscience also bearing witness." You see that? "Their conscience also bearing witness." Now, if you look this way, very simply, here's what he's saying. Not only do all men have a built-in God consciousness, but all men have a built-in sin consciousness. The Bible says the law of God is written on their hearts. That is a built-in sin consciousness. The law of God is written on their hearts. And here's what that means. Having never seen a Bible. Are you listening? Having never seen a Bible. Even the heathen knows that some things are right and some things are wrong. His conscience tells him so. Having never seen a Bible, even the heathen knows that it's wrong to kill his neighbor. He knows that it's wrong to steal his neighbor's property. For this reason, a built-in God consciousness, the witness of creation, a built-in sin consciousness, the witness of conscience, you're going to find that anywhere you find people in every tribe and in every culture, you find these people engaged in two things. Number one, some form of worship. They might be worshiping a rock. They might be worshiping the sun. They might be worshiping a statue. Or they might even be worshiping another human being that they have voted in as God. But man is an incurable worshiper. Man was built to worship. You say, well, what about the atheist who is a humanist? He is worshiping himself. But all men worship something. And then secondly, everywhere you find people, you find them engaged in some form of atonement. That is, trying to do something to make up for the sins that they know in their conscience they have committed. And you see it all over the world. They're engaged in all sorts of unbelievable sacrifices and rituals, trying to appease whatever gods they believe in. A few years ago, my wife and I were in Japan on a missions trip. And one of the saddest things that we saw in Japan was at a Buddhist temple. And we went to a little garden just outside this Buddhist temple. And this garden was just filled with statues of little foxes with red ribbons tied around their necks. And we asked the national pastor, what is the meaning of all of these foxes with red ribbons? And he says, women have purchased these statues and placed these red ribbons around their necks, symbolic of blood, because these are the women who have had abortions. And something within them tells them that this is wrong. And they have been taught that if they will buy this statue and place the statue in this garden, they can appease the gods for the wrong that they have done. Isn't that sad? Here's the point. All men have some light. They have the light of conscience and they have the light of creation. And if a man is responding positively to the light that he has, God will give him more light. He will move from faith to faith until ultimately he comes to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he rejects the light that he has, not only will God not give him more light, God will take away the light that he has. Look at chapter 1 of Romans and verse number 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That is, they did not respond to the light that they had. Do you see that? Say amen. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now read it out loud. And their foolish heart was darkened. You say, Pastor, why in the world would a man reject the light that he has? Why would a man intentionally walk in darkness? Here's why. It is not, contrary to popular belief, for intellectual reasons. It is for moral reasons. Look, if you would, at verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold there means to suppress. Doesn't mean they hold it in that they embrace it. It means they hold it in that they suppress it. They cover it up. They push it away. Now I want you to notice the Bible says that they push away the truth. Not for intellectual reasons, but for moral reasons. They push away the light because the light is exposing their unrighteousness. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because they were so brilliant. Is that what it says? No. It says men love darkness rather than light because they all had PhDs in biology. No. It says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. His head knows better. They deny the fact of God, and it's not the idea of God that bothers them. It's the idea that if there is a God, then they are accountable to that God for what they're doing, and they know that God does not approve of their lifestyle. So you know what they do? They invent a God that is okay with what they're doing. And that, again, that's why the Bible says in verse 21 that when they reject the true God, when they reject the light that they have, then they become vain in their imaginations. They invent a God in their imagination that's not real. They invent a God, listen now, they invent a God that is okay with the way that they're living. It is very important that you understand this. In the Bible, the opposite of truth is not error. In the Bible, the opposite of truth is sin. The opposite of truth is not error. The opposite of truth is unrighteousness. The error is just the baggage that comes with the sin. Did you hear what I said? Let me illustrate. I want you to imagine that here's a college student. This college student's been raised in a good home. This college student knows right from wrong. And he goes off to school and decides he wants to live a wicked and an immoral lifestyle. And so he's out engaged in drunkenness. He's engaged in immorality, doing all the things that he knows is sinful. And then one day he's sitting in a biology class and a professor stands up and says, you know, there really is no God. Everything that we see can be explained by natural processes. And when the professor says that, something resonates in the heart of that young person. He likes what he hears. And the reason he likes what he hears is not because it's intellectual. Really, when you get right down and study the scientific reasons for it, there really is no evidence at all. And so he doesn't reject the truth for intellectual reasons, but rather he rejects the truth for moral reasons. He suppresses the truth, not in error, but he holds the truth. He suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And then he begins to believe what the professor says, and the error is just the baggage that came with the sin. But he originally did not reject the light because of intellectual reasons. He rejected the light because he could justify his sin. That's the reason that Aldous Huxley, the grandson of Thomas Huxley, Darwin's bulldog, one day, in a moment of rare honesty, made this statement. He said, the reason that we embrace so enthusiastically Darwin's theory of evolution is because it explained away God and justified our sexual mores, our immorality. Now, very rarely will you hear an atheist be that honest, but I want to tell you, folks, that's the truth. And so the bottom line is this. All men have some light. Light accepted, light received, increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. What this means is simply this. Not all men have enough light to be saved, but all men have enough light to be damned. For if they accept the light that God gives them, God will give them more light. I heard Adrian Rogers make this statement. He said, I don't believe there's ever been a person alive on planet Earth that accepted the light that they had that did not ultimately have an opportunity to accept the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that when a person is responding to the light that he has, God will do everything he can to get him more light if he has to wreck a plane and parachute in a missionary. And we see that throughout the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, here's a man called an Ethiopian eunuch, an opportunity on wheels. And he's reading the Word of God, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he is in an honest search for the true God. And he does not understand what he's reading, but he is responding to the light that he has. And God shut down an entire citywide crusade to move Philip out of Samaria down into the desert so that he could witness to one man that was searching for the light. We read in Acts chapter 10, and we probably won't have time. I'm sure we won't have time to go there tonight. We'll go there tomorrow night, where a man by the name of Cornelius was responding to the light that he had. He was in an honest search for the light. And the Bible says that God spoke to Peter and said, I want you to go to this man and I want you to give him more light. And as a result, Cornelius had an opportunity to accept the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is missions all about? Here's what it's all about. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We believe there's no way to get to the Father but by Him. We believe that there are people in every country on this planet that are responding to the light that they have. They do not have enough light to be saved, but they have enough light to be damned. They are responding to the light that they have. God wants to get them more light. And ladies and gentlemen, what missions is all about is simply this. We want to be a part of sending the light. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer.